You're welcome back. Figures published today by the Simon Community show the number of properties available under the Housing Assistance Payment Scheme, or HAP, continues to fall. HAP is paid to around 70,000 people to help them rent a home. On the 3 days in March surveyed by Simon, there were only 41 properties available to rent within HAP's discretionary rate. Meanwhile, the Enterprise and Tourism Minister, Peter Burke, has just published long-awaited legislation on short-term lets. It will impose restrictions on property owners in some areas. Lorcan Sir, Senior Lecturer at the Technological University of Dublin, is with us. Good afternoon and thanks for being here. What is the government proposing to do about short-term or holiday lets?
So there's about 20,000 entire properties for rent on short-term letting platforms in Ireland at any one time. And what they're proposing to do is that in towns of over 10,000 population, that people would have to apply for planning permission for change of use. And that the presumption would be that planning permission will be refused, because most of the towns above 10,000 have rent pressure issues, and most of them are rent pressure zones where rents are limited. So there's rental inflation issues in those towns. Below that, there seems to be a bit of a free-for-all then around pretty much anybody who's renting out their properties on short-term lets can do that. Everybody involved in the practice of short-term lets is going to have to register with Fáilte Ireland. And you'll be given a licence number, and the condition of that licence number will be that you have the appropriate planning permission if required. So if you're doing it for more than 90 days a year. Previously, the presumption was that if you were in a rent pressure zone, so it doesn't matter what the town size was, 6,000 or 10,000, that it would be refused because the properties were deemed to be needed for, you know, rent or for other purposes. Now that rent pressure, the link with rent pressure zones is gone. So for example, you can have a town, say Westport, its population about 6,900 people, is a rent pressure zone, but people will now be allowed to do short-term lets, Airbnb-type bookings in that town of Westport and the surrounding areas. Now, Westport, there's no part of Ireland that doesn't have an accommodation problem. And I have heard ministers saying that, you know, that we got to balance the interests of tourism with the interests of housing. And absolutely you do, but we've got to remember that along the south and west and Donegal, and that though they're where the major tourist areas are in Ireland, they're also where the most Airbnbs are in the country. A lot of the people working in the tourism sector are, it's not known for its high pay, shall we say. So a lot of the people working in that sector have affordability issues already. And I don't think the rules, because they're not going to apply to the vast majority of places in Kerry, Donegal, you know, Galway, Mayo, Sligo, all those lovely places, Clare, they're not going to apply there. So I have a feeling that this will end up encouraging people onto the Airbnb platforms and, you know, making rents even more affordable and difficult to find in these areas.
Which presumably is not what the government wants to happen. 10,000, just as you said there, I mean, that's a fairly substantial town.
It is, yeah, absolutely. There's only two towns in Kerry, for example, Listowel and Tralee, I think, that are above 10,000. It was proposed originally to be 5,000, and then the European Commission has been all over this as well, seeing this as a digital rights and an enterprise issue rather than we see it as a planning issue here. And they have no competence in planning, but they do, I suppose, in digital rights and an enterprise. And they poked their nose in a couple of years ago when this was first mooted. So the original plan was for towns above 5,000, which would have encompassed the likes of Westport with a population of, you know, 6,500, 7,000. And now that's raised. It's effectively been diluted and watered down to 10,000. So its effect is going to be much more limited to the large urban areas. And look, let's be honest there. There's about 3,800 entire units in Dublin for rent on Airbnb as we speak. You know, there are issues about rental inflation and all that kind of stuff in urban areas, but in the rural areas it's rampant as well. And there's, like, the likes of Kerry, you know, where Norma Foley is from, they have a social housing waiting list. So this is the number of households, not individuals, waiting of 2,400 for a social house, you know. And at the
as
same
you know
time,
though, the point made by those who don't agree with restrictions is that tourism is very important to their areas, and that this could strip away vital accommodation. But from what you're saying, you don't reckon that's going to happen.
I don't think it will, if anything, because it is now going to be, there is a lot of manoeuvre there for more people to get involved. Now, the licensing issue, I mean, I'm also of the opinion that an awful lot of Airbnb income or short-term letting income is not declared for tax. So I suspect that the fact that you have to apply for a licence and the licence number will be publicly available on a register, which would also be publicly available to revenue, I'm sure, might also, you know, soften the cough of a few owners.
And because revenue aren't known for letting things slide. If these stats are available, they're going to be on top of them.
They're dogged, and that's very important to do it. But, you know, we need to balance. You absolutely need to get a balance, but the balance should always tip in favour of housing people, because what happens, Rachel, is that if we don't, we end up with more homeless people, we end up with more people on HAP, and who foots the bill for that is the taxpayer.
Meanwhile, as chance would have it, we have this new survey from the Simon Communities of Ireland. It shows that the vast majority of properties for rent at the moment fall outside the HAP payment limit. In practical terms, what does that mean?
It means that, so every county council sets a limit for housing assistance payments. So this is a payment that is given to tenants. Basically, tenants or people are told to find their own accommodation and the state pays their rent or the vast majority of the rent. Sometimes they give top-ups to landlords. And there are thresholds with that. But as you see rental inflation, you know, increasing year on year in the double-digit figures, those thresholds are increasingly behind the curve. And so you find fewer and fewer, you know, sources of rental accommodation that are within the threshold, which means that the tenants themselves then end up topping up the rents. And this is what I mean about, you know, the housing assistance payment doesn't come out of nowhere. It comes out of the taxpayers' pocket. So the more people we have, there's about 55,000 households, I think, on HAP at the moment. The more people we have on HAP, because properties that should be available for rent are sucked up doing other things, the more the taxpayer is going to have to foot the bill for that.
I remember arguments in the past about HAP that the more the level is increased, the higher rents climb, that by increasing it, you don't actually solve the problem. I mean, is there something to that argument?
Yeah, no, there is. You're setting a kind of a benchmark for landlords, really, if they know what the HAP rate is. Now, there is emergency HAP and there is discretion with local authorities. But if the local authorities, you know, continually increase the HAP rate, you can see that rents are going to continually increase as well to match that and to keep up with that. Or why would you take less if the state is prepared to give you more effectively? And the issue comes down, it's a bit like Irish water over the years. You know, the lack of investment in Irish water is going to thwart our housing output ambitions annually. And the same thing with social housing since the 90s. We have taken our foot off the pedal. So the 55,000 households on HAP are arguably people that would have in the past, not too distant past, have received a council house. And now, of course, to put into the private rental sector with everybody else, competing with everybody else. And we can see that rental inflation then is rocketing year on year.
Lorcan Sir of TUD, thank you very much for being with us this afternoon.